The prophet Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence." God has more than just a public relations problem. God has a real problem when you stop to think about it. The biggest problem that there is in belief in God has nothing to do with the idea that you've got to get over something scientific to believe in a creator of the universe. And mostly, the biggest impediment to believing in God is the fact that the world that you live in stinks most of the time, and God is supposed to be love. This is by far the biggest problem there is to faith. And it's not just that the world that you live in stinks, the life that you live sometimes stinks. And I know this because I'm a pastor and I hear about how it stinks. And it's not that we find faith because everything around us is so great. It actually might turn out to be the opposite, that we find faith because everything around us is so terrible. I mean, folks, the anxiety level, the Psychiatric Society of the United States just released in October a study saying that the stress level in our country is the highest it has ever been since they've been measuring things. And it's due to problems that are not just systemic, not just political. It has to do with problems that are personal. It has to do with the ways that we handle the stress in our own lives. There are problems that are not just seemingly insurmountable that each of us encounter virtually every day. There are problems in the world that are actually insurmountable. And that's what the prophet Isaiah found in his day. And that's what Jesus found in his day too. Because there was not some time when the world was full of surmountable problems. It's always been full of insurmountable problems. And the only solution, it seems, to all of these prophets of old and prophets of new sometimes, is that to solve these problems, you have to burn the whole place to the ground. Because it doesn't seem like we can get any, you know, these aren't problems that are solved through elections. They're not problems that are solved through legislations. They're not problems that are solved through charities. They're not problems that are solved through certain kinds of programming. There are problems, and there are evils, and there's selfishness, and there's just plain obliviousness, and there are just protective behaviors that people have that put us in a place where really, if we are paying attention, we should be full of despair. The life of faith is the opposite of that. The life of faith is not a life where we're putting belief against unbelief. It's a life of faith of putting hope against because when you hear the prophet Isaiah said, "Oh, that the heavens would open and the earth would shake." When you hear Jesus say that the sky is going to lose all of its luminaries, they're saying, "I am living in a time in which I feel so bad. I'm living in a time where the problem seems so great that we have to hit the reset button in some way." But then these prophets all believe that it will happen, that the day of the Lord will occur, and that is the only thing that will solve this problem. And they complain, and they call, and they want. And on this very first Sunday of our year, our liturgical year, we are presented with what is actually the thing that starts faith. And the thing that starts faith is not gratitude. The thing that starts faith is not just belief in some doctrine. The thing that starts faith is that we are paying attention to the pain around us. and we're yearning for that solution, and we believe that it will arrive unexpectedly at some point. That's the first foundation of the faith that we hold. We don't start our faith from a place of giving thanks for everything that we have. We start our faith from the darkest place that we have inside of us, knowing that there is some way that the sky can be blackened, or the sky can tear open, or a Savior can come and save us, rescue us from that dark place. Gratitude comes after that. And it's important too in this season that we think of it as one where we long for stuff. Kids will tell you this is a season for longing for stuff. They're longing for something to appear under that tree. But I tell you, I think we've lost this foundational piece of our faith because we have maybe are paying attention to the pain, and maybe we are complaining, which is a very holy activity, but we have desanctified it by complaining for the wrong things. We complain about how long the sermon gets, which might be a valid holy complaint, but we complain about there's not enough parking, or we complain about the Badgers lost. We complain, but we don't complain in a way that says, I want Jesus to come and burn the whole place down because I can't find a solution to this problem that I have right now. We get to do that for the next 21 days. We get to get it out of our system. We get to build a good foundation of complaint and yearning and longing so that when Jesus does show up, I mean, just imagine. You can maybe remember this as a kid. I mean, they still do this with a presence. If you even had half of the longing for Jesus to show up as a kid does, for a big present to show up under that tree, things would be so different if you wanted and wanted and wanted. But we're often trying to find ways just to be satisfied with what we have. Advent is a season to be dissatisfied. And the image that Isaiah gives us here, I think, is the one that shows how our faith turns into something else. This image of a spark lighting kindling, creating a fire that transfers its energy into a pot that's full of water and takes that water and transforms it into steam. Advent. Advent is the thing that can light that kindling, that can start this fire, that can transform the water. It is the thing that will start the restoration and the recreation of the world that we live in. It starts by longing, not by having. Amen.